Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Dave. I'll just sit back until you bring me on as a caller. I don't care when, later.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here tonight on the Sedona Connection. You might have heard just a little bit that was going on there as we were trying to make some connections with some other folks there. But thank you. Thank you all for joining the radio program tonight. We enjoy having you here on the air. Well, if you read my newsletter that I put out last night, I always put that out on a weekly basis, is the last 2 weeks has really been something else. But before I do that, let me go in and make some administrative announcements. The first thing that I want to be really clear about is that I need to give a disclaimer, you know, the traditional stuff about financial issues. On this program, we will talk about financial issues. And you need to know that anything that is said based on myself or any of my guests is just our own personal opinions. And anything that I say about finances are for basically information and educational purposes only. We always highly recommend that you seek your own professional financial advice regarding your financial decisions, and that would be such as a CPA, a tax attorney, wealth advisors, and et cetera. So when we make comments about financial related issues, it is just our opinion. It is for educational purposes only. Your own personal advice always is extremely important. So having said that, thank you once again for joining us tonight on the Sedona Connection. A lot of you folks are brand new, and you've only been listening to this program maybe for a couple of weeks, because at the end of the program, I'm able then, I come through Blog Talk Radio, I can go on and online, and I can see how many people have listened to the program. And in the last 2 weeks, we've had an explosion. Last week, between live listeners, and then also you can listen to this program anytime archived. All you have to go to is my program there, The Sedona Connection, on Blog Talk Radio, or you can always go to my website, thesedonaconnection.com, and you will always see the article that I will post on that website there about, you know, this week's radio program, and there will always be a link there, and you can go and listen to those programs anytime archived. Now, about 70-75% of the folks listen to the program archived throughout the week. Some people, every once in a while, get says, hey, it doesn't seem to be working. All I do is get some blank noise. Well, sometimes it depends upon your internet connection, and it depends upon the feed at the time that you need to give it maybe 20 to 30 seconds to buffer before the program will start. It just depends on the volume that's taking place at the time. Then also you have the ability to download the program and download it into an MP3 format, and you can listen to it at any time in a downloaded format on any of your devices that play that have MP3 players, and now today almost all of the smartphones, the telephones capability as well. So again, the contact there is thesedonaconnection.com. And then also, the best way, if you want to stay in touch, is go to my website there, and in the right-hand column, there is a link, a tab, to sign up on the newsletter list. That's my email list, and you can click on that. It's an automated form to go ahead and sign up there. And folks, for those of you that are overseas, I'm sorry, the form doesn't allow you to do that. I'm trying to work with Constant Contact, it's who I use as my email format for my bulk emails, and to get in touch with them to see if we can fix that. So that, because it requires you to put in a state, and it doesn't give you an option to not do that. And so, but we'll see what we can do. I'll see if I can fix that with them with Constant Contact this week. So, but again, so I should say some updates with what I wrote on the newsletter last week. I did not come from Sedona, Arizona, which is my home. I was in Salt Lake City, Utah. And this week, I'm not in Sedona either. This week, I'm in Fort Worth, Texas. And last week, starting on Monday, I went on a road trip, and I ended up driving about 2,100 miles, 2,100 miles over about 5 days. We left myself and my sweetheart, Charla, we left Sedona on Monday, drove up to Salt Lake City, Utah, where I spent 2 days doing my own investigative work, meeting face-to-face with Piff. You've heard him on the radio program before, and he will be on the air here in just a little bit as well, because he is the one who is conducting this, basically the private group transaction that for us to be involved in. It's by choice. Nobody forces you to be involved in that private group if you don't want to. And so met with him twice, met with an individual who is basically called the paymaster. He is the person that the interface team has delegated as being the overseer of the disbursement of the funds. I mentioned all of that in my newsletter. I mentioned that also in the video, because yesterday's newsletter, I did an extensive video on for the newsletter at that time. And quite often, that's what I do. Usually, the newsletter will just give the highlight and the detail is in the video. Yesterday, I wanted to write a little more detail on the newsletter itself. So was there for 2 days. Well, there's one other thing that I do periodically. I don't talk about this much on the air. You can go back to seeing some of my archive newsletters going all the way back to December. But in December, since then, almost every week, I have been on a TV program on the Discovery Channel. It appears on the Science Channel program. And this was something I didn't go looking for, but it was kind of, it found me more than I found it. And it's a program about uncovering aliens in the United States, and it's about the government coverment, how the government lies to us about their existence. And it's a program that, it was a segment of a three-week program that was filmed in Sedona, and it talked about how that is a high government cover-up area and some of the black ops operations that goes on there. And I basically am in about the first 5 minutes of the program, and I'm talking about, as a former state senator, how I explain how government covers up stuff, doesn't tell us the truth, doesn't tell us what's going on. Well, they're filming a new series, and I was asked to be on that again. And so I was in Trinidad, Colorado, which is just right above the Colorado-New Mexico state line on Interstate 25. And so I met there with the gentleman who is, is hosting this series of programs. He's an investigator who's been doing investigative work into government cover-ups with UFOs for about 25 years. And then we went over and we met on the New Mexico-Colorado state line, and we did some talking there, and I did some more filming. And again, basically, I was talking about how government covers up. And a lot of people are it's interesting because we think the power of government lies with the elected officials and with the agency directors. And what I say, not really, because you can go on YouTube, you can go on the Internet, and you can do your own investigative work on this. And you will find that there are somewhere, and I'm coming off the top of my head when I say this, but about 15 to 20 different classifications of top secret. And there are 5 to 6 different classifications of top secret that even go above the President of the United States. Now, they do that for a strategic reason, because there are some things they say, Mr. President, it's best if you don't know this, because therefore it allows you to have what is called plausible deniability. If something here is going on, unless it is something that is of the utmost strategic importance to the security of our country, some of these things it's that you just don't know. But we know and we understand that there's almost in all government agencies, the majority of all the people there are good people wanting to do the right thing. But within all of those agencies also that we would call the black hats folks that operate in their own selfish interest. And those, the real power within a government agency, as I mentioned, is not with elected officials as I was, nor with agency directors, but it's the next level down. These are the career people. Because here's what they say. You as elected officials, whether it's legislators, senators, presidents, or governors, you're here today and gone tomorrow. And then also any of the agency directors are appointed by presidents and governors. They are here today and gone tomorrow, a turnover of them. But the real people that really know what's going on are the next level down, the top career people. And I remember I had a gentleman share with me, and he said, you know, I'm the type of guy that's here for 20 to 30 years. I know what's going on. I know everything inside and outside of this agency. I know how to run it. I know how to destroy it. There are certain things that I can do and things that I will know that you will never know. And we had developed a good friendship. And he said, if you ever, you know, give my name out on this, I will absolutely, totally deny it. But he basically said in so many words, you as legislators, elected officials, you can go pass a new law, but you give us 2 to 4 years and we'll find a way to get around it if we really want to. We always can, and we've always been able to do that. That's where what you would call black ops operations go on within government agencies. And that fits to us as well here in dealing with this whole currency exchange, the revalue, the global currency reset issue, is because it's so obvious that there is a media blackout on this issue as we discuss it. We're aware of that. We know that. And not only is there a media blackout on the issue, also the government really isn't telling us the truth, isn't letting us really know what's going on with its financial status and just how broke they are, how in debt they are, and things like that. And part of it is the real, sometimes the elected officials are not the ones where the power is. If you spend any time on Facebook and you see all these reports and people want to blame the president, people want to blame the Congress, people want to blame the Republicans, people want to blame the Democrats, folks, they aren't the ones with the real power. They give guidance, they give direction, they can make shifts, and they can make changes. But I'll tell you something, the real power lies within that first level of employees, the career employees, the senior career employees at the agency. That's where the real. Having said that, this last 2 weeks we've had some really huge shifts and changes of what's taking place. I mentioned the fact that there was an opportunity, there was a very small window for some folks to be involved with the private exchange on the dinar. I've talked about these private exchanges that they've been going on since October. But here's what's to understand. These private exchanges are not for individuals. They have predominantly been for humanitarian aid organizations. Now, if you've heard from some individuals, the term cashed out really is not a good term to use for this. They have exchanged. But here's something else that happened for me today. A couple weeks ago, some of you listened to the radio program, and for legal reasons and for protective reasons, I had to pull that program off the air. But I have been writing in the newsletter that we had a gentleman on the program who went by the title of G-Man. He could not give his name. He was basically a confidential source. And I talked with him today briefly on the phone. And he had reiterated to me, and he says, Dave, there's probably one small correction you should make in the statements you've been saying. Nobody has gotten their money yet. Because all of this money that will be released is going to be funds that are in the Treasury Reserve notes, the TRNs. And most of you who listen to this program, you understand that means it's gold-backed currency. That money hasn't been released yet. He says, do they have the money in their bank accounts? Yes, they do. But they are not able to spend the funds. The funds are frozen until the TRN funds are released. And so they started this process with them on a very, very quiet basis, and it was so they could get them out of the way so there would not be a bunch of pandemonium and chaos of these large groups and organizations that have literally hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dinar to trade. So they processed them early and got them out of the way so there would be room for the everyday folks like you and me. And as we talked today, he said also, part of the delay that's going on is we are trying to do everything that we can to eliminate the pandemonium and chaos that's going to take place at the banks when this goes public. Because the U.S. Treasury monitors all foreign currency that comes in and leaves the country. So they know how much dinar is out there to be cashed in. they have a very good idea, and maybe not down to the exact person, but they know how many people who have purchased Dinar through the authorized brokers. And he was telling me today that number is in the range of about 9 to 10 million people. Well, we also know that those 9 to 10 million people have purchased Dinar. They have also basically given that some money away, the currency, to friends and family and stuff like that. So we can be estimating there may be somewhere between 12, 15, 20 million people in this country, just in the United States alone, that are going to want to cash in their Dinar when it goes public to exchange it. And that's going to create a real pandemonium and chaos at the banks. And they are trying to work arrangements with that because, in essence, what happened is when they started this process back in October, it exploded far beyond their expectations. They didn't think there would be this many people. Now, part of the reason for the private exchange, it's to get more of it off the street prior to the point where they are going public. So there will be less of us. So the people that are in the private exchange, they don't get their money in advance, folks. That's what he had reiterated to me today. They process them. The money is able to be put in the banks, and they will get the money when it goes public. And that's part of what is going on. Now, here is the other thing, he said, and this is what we had opened up to last week. He says this is not an exact guarantee, but there is a high probability that the Dong will be able to have a private exchange as well. And many of you have signed up for that. And he said, there's only a few things that we need to know. We need to have your name. We need to have your email. We need to know where you are located physically. It's not your physical location we're concerned about. And we need to know how many Dong you have. It's so that we can process this in an orderly manner. Now, they're going to do the Dong in a completely different format. It's going to be more of a electronic, computerized format. It will be a much simpler format. There isn't all the paperwork to sign out. And that's because the Dong is a currency that's already publicly traded, so it's going to be more simple for them to do that process. But they do have to have it. So if you want to have the private rate, that is the information you'll have to disclose because they need to know how much coordination they're going to have to do with how much funds they're going to have to send into certain geographic locations, and they need to know that in advance. And you can go to my website and sign up on that list. They are leaving that window open, but here's what needs to be said, and it needs to be very, very clear. There is no guarantee on this private exchange. They are still working through that process. They are going to try to do that. But you need to know this is not a guaranteed thing. You will always be able to cash it in at the street rate anytime that you want to. That is always available for everybody. You can do it today if you want to do it at today's rate. But we know where that rate is. But just to be clear, it's no guarantee. What you are doing when you sign up for that, you're putting your name on a list, and it is totally optional. It is not mandatory for you. You can choose to not participate if you don't want to. You can walk into the bank, have the Dong in your hand, and see what is there and just say, nope, don't want to do it, and walk out the bank and still have your Dong in your hand. But it's giving you that option is what it is doing. And if you want to do that, you need to go, if you want to be on that list, you need to go to my website, thesedonaconnection.com. Scroll down. And you will see the article that I posted about there about the Dong, the private Dong exchange. And in there is a link that you need to click on. And that is PIF's organization. Now, I want to say this here. I am only the messenger. They have allowed me to use those of you that listen to this program, that are on my email list, that receive, my videos. You are being allowed to participate in this as well because of the volume of what we can do. We've had probably in the last week since we opened this up, somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 people have signed up. And right now, that's available for you if you want to do that. And it's basically they've opened it up to PIF's organization and those of you who listen to my program. And then what I also highly recommend that you do is go ahead, if you are not, sign up on my newsletter list because information, directions, instructions of how to proceed when they choose to do this, we will come through that newsletter as well. Now, do not expect a return email of confirmation that you filled out the form. That is not in the works at the time. Just trust the fact if it accepted your form, you're on the list. But again, there is no guarantee. I explain this in the newsletter. There is going to be a certain cutoff point. I don't determine that. PIF doesn't determine that. It's the folks in the interface team that determine that. And they are going to take these folks on a first-come, first-serve basis based on the time stamp of your email with when you filled out the form. And that there's going to come a certain point, and they're just going to cut it off, and it will be based on that time. And they will know that based on how many people they have and how many dong is out there that needs to be exchanged and at the rate that exchange is going to be available. So, folks, thank you. I appreciate that. You're listening to that. Again, remember, I want to give a disclaimer on this. Everything that we say here is just our opinion. It's for educational purposes. If you need to know what you need to do with your dong, your dollars, whatever, you should always seek your own professional advice. With that, I'm ready to go to this wonderful newfound buddy that I have, and we're going to go ahead and bring him on the air. Hey, Piff, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing great, Dave. How are you doing?
Good. Did that explanation sound good so I can give you some protective cover?
Oh, yes. I always... like protective cover.
I don't know if protective cover is the right term. That's just kind of a joke. But, you know, all the folks, we just want to thank you for what you're doing and you and the team that you have and putting all this together and facilitating this. And I know for you, it's just something that you want to do because you care about it. And you go by the nickname PIF, it stands for Pay It Forward. And as I have gotten to know you, I see that really demonstrated in your life. So, again, we just want to say thank you very much for what you do. So, again, I got you here on
thanks
the air.
Thanks for having me again.
It was enjoyable it was enjoyable to spend the 2 days with you in Salt Lake City. And hopefully I'm going to be back there real soon. So
You
yeah.
will be back soon,
okay,
and hopefully the weather stays nice for you.
Yeah, so I've been a road warrior in this last week, so 2,100 miles, and I'm going to probably drive back to Sedona in the next 2 or 3 days, and that's another 900 miles, so it's going to be about 3,000 miles over, you know, a couple of weeks. But that's okay. Sometimes I enjoy being on the road. It's really a quiet, reflective time for me. So, okay, so I'm going to let you go ahead. Share with us the news that you got.
Well, no, it's not nothing too important, I don't think, but I know I've been asked a lot of questions, and instead of having a call and definitely competing against any of my friends out there, I just didn't think it was best. And since you're, you know, obviously a part of our family, and a lot of our family supports you and vice versa, I wanted to share some information because Things have gotten a little difficult, it seems like, in the last 24 hours and even last week. And there's not everything that you can put out in so many words crystal clear. But today I've kind of been working on some things. And I have something that will actually help, I think, many understand where we're at as, you know, the Salt Lake City group or the Dallas group or, you know, some of the other groups around, because there are more groups. We're just the last ones as we were mopping it up. We became, you know, pretty popular in the last little bit because everybody's looking to make sure they're in somewhere safe. And again, it's about getting something down in writing, getting something of what it's going to be, and not giving up your dinars to anybody but the bank. And, you know, those are pretty much the rules we follow. And I know there's, it was explained to me by G-Man, not more than probably 30, 45 minutes ago. But I had a little bit of restless friends and family because we're all trying to figure out what we're going to do for Easter. And Easter's not only Easter, but Good Friday, and it's a very important time for most of us. I would say all of us. We all enjoy the time with our family, but also some of the times that we get to think and ponder what our Heavenly Father has in store for us. And if I can share just one scripture before I go into sharing the little bit of tidbit that I have that will help everybody at be a little bit at ease tonight so they know where
sure.
to stand.
Please do. Yeah, please
this
do.
Is in Isaiah 45, chapters 2 through 4. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of our secret place, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have summoned thee, though thou hast not known me. Sorry, I get choked up there.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello? Okay, yeah, it sounded like you cut off there just a minute. So, okay.
Yeah, I did for a second. I just need to gather myself there for a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Those that went to Dave's conference, that was a scripture of one of three, two other ones I'll be sharing with some other friends that I didn't have enough time to get prepared for to share, and I put it in a room that I'm in, but there's two other ones, and it was shared by my friend that went and stood by my side at your seminar 2 weeks ago, Dave. A little taller gentleman than my father and me.
Yeah, I remember who that was, so yeah. We had
yeah,
fun
he
with
it. Said, yeah, he said to say hello and hi to all of you. And he definitely enjoyed the information and appreciates the new friendships that start from opportunities like that. And he looks forward to participating and coming to another one. He may even be on today. That I don't know yet.
Okay.
So moving on to some of the things. I asked if I could maybe help out some of the people, and this would pertain to some of the groups that out there that are referred to maybe Dallas or Utah or Salt Lake City or that people seem to think that they're not real. And there's always been a plan, and there's always been, as you kind of went over there, Dave, as you know, we didn't have a chance to talk before this, and it's ironic that you kind of go into where I'm going to lead you next. Oh, Dave, guess who's calling me? Dave, can we pause? I let you do something. I need to get Yeah, this is G-Man calling me.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'll put you on hold, okay? Because I know you need to take that call because that's important. Okay. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Folks, he gets calls like this off and on throughout the day, and so he needs to always, you know, to step into that. And even in the conversation that I had with G-Man today, he doesn't spend much time reading the blog sites or listening to all the news because he's just got a job to do, and, you know, things kind of evolve around him, and that's just being quite honest. And he is a part of an interface team that conducts a lot of this that goes on, and he has access to the information that is there. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and just step on to the first caller in the list, and I'm going to go ahead and call a gentleman by the name of Dave, same name as mine, from the same city as mine, in Sedona, Arizona. Dave, you're on the air with me. What can I help you with?
Well, hi, Dave. My question, I think you've already answered. I was wondering if we were going to get some sort of confirmation from the email that we sent in the other night to PIF.
Yeah, and no, you don't. And I don't know that. That's his issue. But I do know my understanding is if it accepts, when you fill out the form, if it doesn't give you an error message, if it accepts it, you're on the list. Okay. That's how
okay.
I understand it. Yeah. Okay.
Alrighty,
yeah.
Super.
Well,
thank you very much.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same name.
We're probably neighbors.
Same area code. Same first three digits of my phone number. I thought, am I looking at myself here? Then I realized no, the last four digits were lost.
Well, we'll have to meet
yeah,
and have coffee.
We will. I'm coming back to Sedona probably this weekend, so I'm back
okay,
and forth
sounds
here
good.
Sedona and Fort Worth. Okay. Thanks.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Good night.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to continue going on down the callers, down the list, and then I'll check back with Piff here shortly. So the next lady I'm going to is a lady by the name of Louise, and she's from Scottsdale. Louise, you're on the air. What can I help you with?
Hi, Dave. Actually, I'm from Peoria, not Scottsdale, but that's okay.
Oh,
okay,
whatever.
My question, I was really hoping Piff would still be on the call because you guys keep talking about the dong and that form and everybody saying they got that little blip that says that they got our form. But we don't know anything about the dinar from your call on the 2nd of April. And I think that that's where, you know, you keep saying that everybody's writing to you and you wish they wouldn't and you don't know this and that. But all we're looking for is some kind of an answer so that we know our email was at least accepted. It wasn't that we clicked on a form like for the dong. We just had to send the email to that PIP 30, whatever the address is. We waited that whole evening, and you finally gave us the address, and my friend and I just typed it in as you were saying it and hit send. So all we want to know is that list complete? Are we might not get it. I understand that, but are we on it, and how do we know we are?
Now, here's what I understand, and I did mention this on the program last week. That list is not going to go because it was something that PIF stepped out and said, I'm going to try to get this through, but the dinar list had basically already been closed at that time. And that's when in his discussions with G-Man that they went ahead and opened it up for the dog. So all of it, and thank you, Louise, for bringing that up because I guess I hadn't made that clear. For those 2 weeks ago, for those of you that sent in the email about the dinar issue to piff371@gmail.com, that is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So, and I'll talk with him some more to see if he can get his folks in his automate, you know, his computer department there, if they can send you back a confirmation email on the dong stuff. Because that's one of the most common emails that I get is, hey, how do we know? I mean, is anything happening? And so, right, and that's understandable if it wasn't explained, and so you're kind of left and kind of in the loop or hanging there. It's kind of, gee, what's going on? And but as of right now, you don't get any confirmations back. But that the dinar issue for that group that night, those that sent it in, that is not going to happen. But the dong has opened up, and that window is still open. And I basically am in touch on a day by day basis. And when that closes, I will close mine down as well. So, yeah.
Okay. And then if I'm understanding you correctly. Yeah, it does. And if I'm understanding you correctly, then when the time comes on the dong that we can go cash that in, probably be after the dinar, but will we get another email or something that will say, okay, you get the extra high rate or anything like that?
Yes, you will be notified when that comes forward. It may be right now because it's still just a little bit premature, and that was my discussion with G-Man today. It can't be a guarantee, and they may still having to, you know, put some stuff into work. I don't know. I don't know those details. That's an assumption that is on my part. But so let me do this. I just got a text from Piff. So and he said he's ready to come back on the air. So I'm going to bring him on the air. And Louise, I'm going to leave you on the air. So I'm going to bring all three of you on there. So Piff, you're back. Is that right?
Yep, I'm back.
Okay. Have you been hearing what I've been saying about the questions that the folks have about they're not getting a confirmation email when they send the form in? Can you address that?
Yeah, we really put that together in a less than a 24-hour period to start making sure that we could have the numbers to pull off what we need to do to have a private placement. And so what we're requiring was just those basic information. And in the traveling between Dave and all the stuff that I had going on with the IQD, we probably could have made it so that it gave you a confirmation. I don't know. I'll check with, our team and see if that's something we can add to it. We're looking at giving the UST a number so that this is what we've got to hit. And that's why it's put together that way. And then it'll also explain to you your question that was a little bit earlier. I don't know if it was your first one or not, because I just know that I heard you discussing how the people on the call that got the opportunity to send the email and we didn't get to all of them. We had such an overwhelming response even just before that. We were hoping to keep going. We worked, I think it was, well, I want to say it's 12, 13, 14 straight days. I might be off because it's all mixed together for us. But it was so overwhelming, the amount of people that, and the way that the information had come in, that we just didn't have enough time. And it wasn't something that we expected 4,000, because that's how many more people signed up, 4,000. We have processed in 2 weeks, working 20 hours a day and a ton of people on it. And we got to, I want to say, right around the 700 people mark. And it just... overwhelming amount of people that want to participate, and we kept going as long as we could, and nobody got cherry picked out or anything like that, because there's nothing that we can do there. When tell us we're done, and which leads me into letting you guys have an idea of the hands that you're in is the U.S. Treasury. We work exactly with the exact same team as the Dallas team works with, and there's several other teams, but one of the more known teams that people will be probably surprised to hear, but we are in the same circles as the Admiral's group.
So you're saying, and I know. We want to be careful about that. So my understanding is you are in contact with the Admiral's group out of Reno, and they are looking at...
No.
No, not that one.
No.
Not that one.
No. No.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
We are...
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. We're our own group, okay?
Okay.
The people that... For the U.S. Treasury interface team that is handling the Admiral is the same people handling Salt Lake City and Dallas.
Let me get a clarification, because when they refer to the Admiral, they usually refer to the guy that's in Reno as the Admiral and the group that he has put
correct.
Together. Now, that is correct. But what... So if I'm hearing you correctly, is the team that is working with you is now starting to work with them as well. Is that what it is?
No. No, they've been working together.
Nope.
They've been closed. They have been closed. Dallas opened up. Dallas was closed. Salt Lake was opened up, and Salt Lake was the last one open and closed. And it's done.
And that's on the DNR.
Everything's turned in.
Okay.
Yep, Everything's turned in. Everything's accounted for, and I just want you guys to know the hand that you were in, but don't want to use somebody else's influence to have you in ours. It's closed. It doesn't matter anymore. But the transaction is the United States Treasury interface team that interfaces between those groups, and any other group that is aware of that too would know that. And if you, so anyone out there that is claiming otherwise, or, you know, some of the other stuff that goes on out there in DNR world, this is my way of letting you know, please, please stop and let there be calmness. And just, and I'm going to tell you this too, because obviously G-Man just called me because he wanted me to make sure I hit this home, not just for anyone that's in our group or not in our group. You've got a spectacular weekend this weekend. You have Easter, you have Good Friday, and we have family plans. He told me, do not miss out on family and your Heavenly Father. You will not miss your exchange no matter what. They'll make it work. Okay? You will not miss it.
You know, Piff, here's what's interesting today is when I talk with him, and it's really important for people to know this, there are, I don't know if I want to use the word rumors, but there are words or conversations or discussions that go on out there about different groups. And everybody on this call needs to understand, and I confirmed this today when I was on the phone with G-Man, is that there are other private groups out there that are doing contracts with the government of China. And those are entirely separate groups that are totally different than what Piff just mentioned between the Salt Lake City group and the Dallas group that's working with the U.S. Treasury interface team. That is an entirely different operation, organization, different group, different situation. They are not connected. And so when you hear about some of these groups, especially some of them that have fallen apart, what you sometimes, some folks are doing is that they're mixing up the two separate types of groups. There are some other individual groups out there that are operating with the government of China and are doing private contracts with the government of China. And if you go back to my website and if you read that original Q&A article that I wrote back in September, I talked about the China oil credits. And yes, there is some of that is going on. I do not know any of the details, how large, how much, or any of that stuff. But it has been confirmed that those are going on. And so it's important that we understand that there is a difference between these two. So, and Piff, I'm sure you have that. You could affirm that as well. Is that correct?
Yes. And, you know, it comes down to FRDs and the Treasury Reserve notes. What you're going to get paid in. If you go to China, you're not going to get Treasury Reserve notes because you're not working with U.S. Treasury. You go and do something
that's interesting.
Out of country. It's straight from the horse's mouth. Those that want to go and do that, hey, by all means. But that's why they've also tightened the banking laws, and getting the money back in be very tough. It'll be. That's almost one of the traps that people don't realize that's out of there is greed. I spoke of that to my group is don't be too greedy. And some people say, well, I'm going for the highest rate possible, and I'm going to sign for the China deal. But I'm telling you calmly, get in and get out. Stay calm. Don't give your dinars to anyone but the bank. Handle your business with them. And if you handle your business with them, you'll be with U.S. Treasury. You'll get U.S. Treasury back notes, buy gold, and your money will be free of any legalities of where it's coming from. Now, coming from the outside, and I'm not even going to use the country, but anything outside of there, none of them have any Treasury Reserve notes yet.
So you're saying if you're working a private contract with an organization that is outside of the United States, they are not going to get paid in Treasury notes. They're going to get paid in the Federal Reserve notes. And there could be some problem with that of being able to bring that money into the country. Your money could possibly be tied up for a while. And when the U.S. Treasury notes come out, then you could end up seeing a big drop in value of the Federal Reserve notes. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, all of it. All of it's possible.
Yeah.
All of that's possible. Okay, but it's not
yeah.
the easiest path. And for that matter, it can be taxed differently. It can be looked at differently because you're giving a lot of the money away that the U.S. Treasury is intended on using to make it better here. Okay.
Right.
And again, even if you just exchange them at the international rate here at 371, they're going to be in Treasury Reserve notes. So the key is you want to be with the right people, and you want to surround yourself around the right people. And it's kind of hard to. You know, I speak when I'm allowed to, share what I can when I'm allowed to. And it's made to be a calming thing, not to stir anything up. But you do need to do your homework on what's happening around you and what's going to take place. Does it mean that your Federal Reserve notes are going to be defunct and worth nothing? No. It'll be phased out
absolutely.
Over time. Yeah, so that's not an issue. It's about the actual exchange of I'm giving the dinars to the U.S. Treasury or am I going to give it to another country? Unless it goes through the U.S. Treasury, that's the catch.
Right. And let me explain something while we're on this topic because we basically said that the Federal Reserve notes may be worth less. Folks, it's really, really important to know that the Federal Reserve note is not going to be devalued overnight. I mean, that's the stuff that creates pandemonium, chaos, and wars. Because what we will have just, if that happens, it means 98% of the people in the United States just lost all their money overnight. That's not going to happen. They're not going to let, you want to talk about chaos, you want to talk about riots and rebellions and wars. And I've always said this also, is that there is more U.S. currency outside of the United States boundaries than there is inside of the United States because the U.S. currency is still the world's reserve currency. So you're talking hundreds of millions of people that would lose their money overnight. That would create such an economic instability in the markets all around the world. So they're not going to do that. there's going to be a period of time where they will phase out and the new U.S. Treasury notes will phase in. But in this private contract exchange, that could possibly be a different story. And please hear what I just said, possibly. And so it's just not quite as secure, I guess, is the best way to say that, because you're allowing all of this money to go outside of the United States, and it's not benefiting the United States, and any country is going to do that. Any country is going to do that. You could turn around and they could lock your funds up, and Congress could turn around and pass a law within a heartbeat that puts a tariff on you, in so many words, to bring that money back into, you know, to have it exchanged. Because it's very likely that those bank accounts are going to be locked up for some period of time until they work this through. But we just don't know. Now, having said all of that, you may not be involved in any of these private groups. Those groups are all closed. And then what you get to do is take it into a bank and exchange it at the street rate. So don't get stirred up, worried, concerned, flustered, frustrated, angry, or anything like that. Because when this goes public, everybody has the option to just take it into a bank and exchange it at the street rate if that's what they want to do. You always have that option. It's always your choice. But it's what Piff said. Do your homework. Do your homework and never, ever release your dinar or your dong to anybody until you know you're exchanging it at the bank so that you keep it under your control. So, all right.
Yeah, that's
I think that's another
that's correct.
Clarification statement. Yeah.
Yeah, and just to one last thing on well, two things left. One, just on that last topic, it's again, remember, you're doing, as long as you walk into the bank and you exchange, you have a U.S. Treasury deal. And if you do something outside of that, by all means, it's your right to and do whatever it is that you want. For anybody that still needs to be signed up, it's closed. So don't fall for anybody signing people up. And if they are, they need to stop. I know several people have been told to get in line. And that's happened because we don't want confusion. That's what we're trying not to have. And the last thing G-Man asked me to tell everyone is the Easter holiday is very important to very many people. And he's assured me that everybody should go about their family plans and that when this does take place, that arrangements will be made and timely things will happen, but you should still be able to celebrate and have a regular planned holiday with your family and so forth. And the reason why he's asked me to make sure that people are clear is we don't want to jump the gun on anything. And, you know, we've been clear about that from the beginning. We know what we've done. We know where we're at. We've turned things in. You know, T's are crossed, I's are dotted. And many times, and there's a lot of things that just indicate that, you know, things are great. But nobody wants to live every single day like this roller coaster has been over this holiday weekend.
Yeah.
If it's my group, the Utah Salt Lake group, you know, those that want to exchange, if it happens, those that want to exchange and it happens, can come down and exchange. We have enough people that would be made available if they're in that position. If they can't exchange because they're at a family event, they will still get to exchange. So they've got nothing to worry about. And I'm sure that goes for any of the U.S. Treasury deals out there. And, you know, this interface team, like I said, they work together and they're calm. And that's the important thing. So please enjoy it, the holidays, and move ahead forward. You know, I'll stay in touch with you, those that are in my group and the other group leaders out there and their groups. Everybody knows who they need to talk to. And if it's something that you can come in and participate in, if it happens to be that way, you know, it'll get, again, people through the door, which is what their plan is, to get people through the door to spread it out so that it can start to happen. And if you can't, you're not going to miss the opportunity. They're not going to close the door and move on and leave you without the opportunity. So that's what he wanted me to share with you.
Right, and let me clarify, that is the people who that are on the Dinar Exchange in Salt Lake City that are already on the list. And that's what we are referring to, right? Yeah, so basically they're saying enjoy your weekend, don't worry about it. You know, if something opens up and you know, don't cancel your family plans, do what you need to do. You'll have the opportunity still after the weekend, you know, if it happens at that time frame, to be able to do what you need to do. And Piff, let me go back to another thing, just so that the people that are listening, is that just to reiterate, the Dong opportunities are all closed, but the Dinar opportunities are all closed. Let me make a correction on that. The Dinar opportunities for private rates are all closed, but the Dong window is still open. And if you want to be on that list, you can go to my website, thesedonaconnection.com, scroll down, you'll see the article, and you'll see the form to fill out. And you are going to be working with your staff to try to give them confirmation emails that they had filled out the form, but don't expect it because you guys have been so swamped. But you'll try to see what you can do. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
People just they just want to know something, so they're not left hanging. That's all.
Yep. Yeah. And that's why when we set it up, it was either that or pass on the contract altogether. And
right.
So we put together
right.
what we could to see, hey, can we pull this off? Well, it looks good. So there's no guarantees, but everything looks good that there could be a contract rate on that, and it's something that will be enjoyable. That's really it, Dave. It's just real simple. I just want everyone to have a good Easter, whether they're in or out. If it goes public, you can always take and exchange a couple bills. At a local bank, you know.
Yeah, and here's what was right. You know, folks, here's something that some people are doing is they're going out and they're purchasing Dong on reserves so they don't have to put up a large amount of money. And when the Dinar exchanges, immediately go into the bank and, you know, cash in one or two of your Dinar notes to get cash to immediately pay off your Dong reserves, so you have those currencies in hand for the private exchange rate. And so it's a way to really stretch your money until that happens. And please, we need to reiterate, you need to make your decision for yourself what is best for you. You need to do that. When I was talking with G-Man today, he says, what's different about the Dong is there's going to be somewhere between probably 12, 15, even up to 20 million people cashing in the Dinar, because people have been collecting Dinar for up to 10 years and they've passed it around to family members. There aren't that many people that are aware of the Dong. But the only people that are aware of the Dong are those that are listening to programs like this and reading the blog site. So there isn't anywhere near the volume of people that are going to be cashing in Dong versus the Dinar. And my understanding is that's why one of the reasons why they were able to open this window up, because it isn't going to be anywhere near the volume of dollars. And this is an opportunity. And we did discuss this today, is they're beginning to realize how important it is to bring the moms and pops into this thing, everyday folks, because I had this discussion with them. It says, if you have somebody who already has a net worth of $10 million, and they have the ability to go out and buy a ton of dinar, and they're going to get another $50 million, really all they're doing is adding zeros to their bank accounts. But if you get the equivalent of moms and pops that are going to basically, you know, bring in the same amount of money, those folks are going to go and spend their money. If you've got someone who's just an everyday person and they're going to come up with $300,000, $500,000, $1 million, they're going to go out and spend money. They're going to buy new cars. They're going to go on vacation. They're going to give it away to their families. They are the ones that are going to stimulate the economy. The everyday folks like you and me are the ones who are going to do the best in stimulating our economy than it is the folks who are already wealthy. And that's why they're wanting to open this up. And in many ways, they want you to participate in this. Because here's the benefit. They have X number of dollars out there available. And yes, and we did talk about taxes today. He says they are going to reaffirm that it's going to be a capital gains tax, which means if it's over $450,000, you're going to have to plan on paying right about 40% of your money in taxes. So plan on that. Know that, that's going to happen. So the government benefits from the tax revenue, and we all benefit from the stimulation of the economy by having you participate in this opportunity. But again, it's your choice. If you don't want to, take the street rate. And add that on that note, I did talk with him today on the rate, and he said, don't expect anything over a dollar for the dong. Folks, he says, what's being said out there? He says, there's no basis for that. Don't expect anything over $1 on the dong, whether it's private or public rates. Just don't expect it. It's not going to be over that amount. He says, it's not in a position to do that from an economic standpoint. So, but there's a great opportunity on this for so many people. So, yeah. Well, Piff, anything else you got to share?
Nope, I'll mute out.
Okay, let me do this. Hey, buddy, I would like to talk with you offline a little bit for just a few minutes after the radio program.
Okay,
but
I'll stay on.
What I want to do then? Well, you don't need to stay on here. I'll give you a call on the phone afterwards,
okay.
And then I'm going to go on and start answering questions for the callers for tonight. We're going to spend because we've got about another hour left on the program, and that's
okay.
An hour where I can just take care of the callers. Okay? Again, thanks for coming
Sounds
on.
Good. Thank you.
All right. I'll see you shortly. All right. Thanks, Kay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, folks, again, thank you so much. But, you know, it's really great to be able to get that information coming in from him. And what I want to do to reiterate is, remember, when it comes down to your money decisions, you need to make those decisions for yourself personally, what is best for you. And always when it comes down to how you're going to use your money, we always highly recommend that you get the advice of a professional financial folks such as CPAs, tax attorneys, wealth managers, et cetera, and stuff like that for whichever is applicable to your situation. Now, I forgot to announce this at the beginning of the program. Folks, if you are listening to this on your telephone and you have the opportunity to go listen to it on the internet, would you please do that? Blog Talk Radio limits the number of callers that I can receive. And so there's a lot of people that they are out and about and they can only listen to it on their phone. And what happens is the phone lines get locked up because I've hit my limit on how many people can listen on the phone. So if you have that opportunity, if you're listening on your phone, and if you have the opportunity to go and listen on the internet, would you do that so you can allow some other folks to possibly call in that would like to do that, okay? And with that, I also, as we're here, kind of here at the intermission, I guess, mention about the workshop coming up in Philadelphia on April 27th. Lots of seats are still available, folks. And it's what I said in the video that I put out last night. Some of you folks I know, you're at a position right now where you are on a limited income. Maybe you're senior citizens on fixed monthly income. And I do have scholarship seats available. Normal price is $99 for the day for one person. I dropped that from the one I did in Dallas-Fort Worth because I just simply had overhead costs that I had to cover my very, very first time. And I want to make sure that people can come. And so this is the price that I'm going, $99 for an individual, $79 for each person if you come as a couple with a group of two or more, and it doesn't have to be husband and wife couples. It can, you know, you can become, if you got a friend you want to register as a couple, I'm okay with that. And then scholarship prices are $25, and I will continue to allow the scholarship seats to be available as long as I know that I have seats available, but that will be on a first come first serve basis. But right now it's kind of wide open for you folks, so would love to have you. We still got plenty of room for the workshop in Philadelphia. It'll be in the Philadelphia area. You can go onto my website and you can see the details. The agenda is on there. The location is on there. The time we start, we go from 9:30 to 5 is on there. It's in a suburb of Philadelphia out in South New Jersey at a Courtyard Marriott Hotel. And that's on Sunday, April 27th. And then in the next couple of days, I will be posting the one for May 10th that I'm going to do in Sedona, my hometown. Now, I'm going to have limited seats on that one, folks, because I'm going to be doing that at the Unity Church in Sedona. And that one will be limited to 100 people. That's all that I can take there in Sedona on that day. I will be putting out in the next couple of days the sign-up, and the price on that one will be $10 less. That one will be $89 for the individual, $69 if you're coming in as a couple, and I can do that because my overhead cost is much less. It cost me, you know, when I travel to another city, between travel expenses and having to hotel expenses and renting the room and equipment expenses, it cost me almost $2,000. And I need $2,000 just to break even. Well, obviously, if I'm in my hometown of Sedona, that's not the case. So, because I don't have near as an overhead cost there, and that's one of the reasons why I'm doing it at the Unity Church there. So the overhead cost is much less. So that one will be $89. I'll be posting that in the next couple of days. You can go on the website. You can see some of the comments that from the folks that were the ones at Dallas Fort Worth. The people just loved it. It's what I've said before is, if you go to a conference or a workshop, seminar, at the end of the day, you really know, to me, the sign of success is when it's all done and over, the people don't want to leave. And that's what happened to us in Dallas-Fort Worth. We were done at 4:30, and I went into an open Q&A for an hour, and nobody left. And then it was another hour before people had finally left. And I had to ask everybody, we got to leave because we got to give up the room. And it was like people hung around for 2 hours after it was over. See, to me, that's the sign of something that is successful. And it's you, the folks who came, who brought that. Because we come together, we collectively receive from each other. And that's the positive thing about a workshop, is you develop a network with other people who are like you, that are like-minded. You feel the energy of the event, and it's a wonderful time together. I had one gentleman who was 74 years old, and he said that was probably one of the best ones he'd ever been to in his life. So come participate in that. Be a part of that. I chose Philadelphia because of the fact that, you know, a lot of you will drive, and you can basically drive anywhere from Washington, D.C. all the way up to Boston. So it opened up that it was kind of a central location in that whole northeast corridor that was there. So April 27th in Philadelphia, and it'll be May 10th in Sedona. And I am tentatively looking at, I think if I remember right, it was going to be May 31st in the Chicago area is what we're doing. And when the exchange takes place, folks, this workshop is still going to be applicable. All I do is change a little bit of the first session is what I do. I will reformat that information a little bit. But other than that, it's very applicable because it's once you get your money, that's when you really want to have something like this, because what do? Where do you go? How do you become a millionaire? And it's learning how to wisely handle the money that we are receiving. Okay? All right. So I am ready now to go on to the callers. And thank you, folks, who have been waiting patiently here online for some time. I'm going to the next caller in the list. His name is Robert, and he's from area code 909 in Texas. Robert, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi, Dave. This is my name's obviously Robert, but I appreciate you taking my call, and thank you for the work that you're doing and trying to help people. I'm really new to this. I invested about less than 2 months ago. In my first dinar, uh-huh. I've bought in dong, and I've been able to accumulate quite a bit. And I've also helped my family and my parents and my brothers and everybody to get a little bit, enough to make their life a little bit more enjoyable when this all happens. So it's been a learning curve, I should say, in a very short amount of time.
Welcome to the group. It's been
yeah,
for all of us. So.
I can't imagine the amount of stress that people have put up with for being in it for 4, 5, 10 years. I've been in it for 2 months, and it gets kind of crazy. You can almost overwhelm you sometimes. But
hey,
anyways,
can I tease you?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're one of the guys that created the delay. Because we had this explosion of people that came in the last 3 and 4 months, and they realized that they weren't certain how they could handle that at the banks, and that's what a lot of it is. It's all good, though. It really is good. See, I'm this firm believer. I want as many people involved in this as they want to be, because the more, the better it does for all of us, not only in the United States, but all around the world. What it does is to help change our world. It brings it into a much better perspective. So I should say thanks for coming in and helping create the problem. So,
yeah, well,
go
I think,
ahead.
I think overall I'm looking for the ability to help others, you know, help my family, you know, which I think I've been able to do that, just helping them get, not a lot, just enough to where it would make them comfortable. And you know, my parents are in their 70s and still mid-70s and still not retired. So this, you know,
yeah,
give them an ability to do that. So that, and you know, just the ability to be able to, you know, start businesses, build things, and help the economy, help America, even though we're going to take a hit on the dollar, to be able to be a part of helping rebuild America and keeping it going. When you came out with this, the knowledge of this dong, I was on the call and I put in my email for the DNR, but I didn't, obviously no one got really called on that, or very few people, so that got cut off. And then the dong, I literally put mine in within about 5 hours after you posted it. You put it out like 1:30 in the morning, and I saw it at like 6:30, and I put mine in and I didn't hear anything back, and I'm thinking, okay. And then I actually, and then I went in when you did the second and the third, and I did it again because I thought, okay, well, maybe I didn't do it. Maybe I messed up. And so I'm hoping that didn't, you know, cause a problem with them. And I, you know, Tiff and them may find out, because they didn't give any confirmation, they're going to end up with the same names in there multiple times. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, he has been so swamped. They have been working, like you said. He's had his staff going 20 hours a day around the clock for almost 3 weeks now. So just processing.
It's the delays. You said that the whole thing is, you know, your understanding or your thoughts on the delays is there's a system here that's going on, and the last stages before it's released to the public is this private placement. Is that one of the delays still going on? Is the DNR still being completed, or the private placement?
Part of it. That's part of it. Based on the information that I have, and there may be a lot more than this, I think I'm now beginning to see there's three things. One is they had to finish the private placement contracts. The second thing is there are so many people that have now come in for the DNR. They are trying to work this in a method that it won't create a pandemonium and chaos at the banks, when the banks are going to get swamped with millions of people coming in to cash. And the DNR has to go through a Delarue machine. And the reason is this is a currency that has never been in circulation before. Banks are not trained on this currency. And also we have heard that there has been some counterfeit DNR that has been printed up. It has not come out into circulation, but when it goes public, it will. And when you step, we do know the public rate is going to be 371. That's been public knowledge. So take a 25K note. One of those is worth almost $90,000. Well, a bank is not going to risk itself by giving out that much money without making sure that currency is authenticated and running it through a Delarue machine. And there's a limited number of machines. So they're trying to work out how they can best handle this at the banks without people becoming mad and angry because, gee, I thought I could get my money, because it's going to be a pandemonium and chaos event. when this goes public. And they're trying to minimize that and stay on top of it as much as possible. And the third thing is things that I've seen develop just in the last probably week and a half. And it's the tension that is going on with the U.S. government, not the U.S. Treasury, the U.S. government and the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, because the IMF is wanting to restructure itself to have a more fair voting rights because the U.S. has basically total veto power over it. So it's a pretty much U.S.-controlled organization. And the rest of the countries around the world are saying, U.S., you need to give up your – says you're not the big boys anymore. You're not the total dominant power and control anymore. Your U.S. dollar is no longer a safe world reserve currency, and you need to give some of that up. Well, that's an act of Congress. Congress needs to do that, and Congress doesn't want to do that. And they're still working through some negotiations on how they can settle that. And I think that's another one of the issues that's kind of held this up. And it appears right now by the reports that we're seeing – is the rest of the world is saying, U.S., if you don't want to come play ball with us, then we're going to go out on our own because we don't need you anymore. Collectively, the rest of the countries around the world are telling the United States, we don't need you anymore. And I think they're wanting to do this in a way that will allow the U.S. to lose face, I mean, to not lose face. And there's a reason for that. It's not just a, gee, they're going to lose face situation. No, because that does create an economic instability all around the world. And it would have a huge impact upon the markets all around the world if it was just announced overnight that the IMF is leaving and the U.S. is left holding the bag all on its own. It would create a lot of uncertainty in the markets. It would create pandemonium and chaos in the markets. So,
do you think it's going to be delayed months and months if the U.S. decides not to?
No, I don't. I think we, based on everything that I am hearing, now again, this one guy, he says everything is done, but yet, you know, as long as politicians are breathing, who knows what can happen, you know? So, but everything we are hearing is it's right at the doorstep. And I don't know all those details. But and it's not just me saying that. Almost all of the blog writers from various sources are all saying the same thing based on their intel sources, that it's right there. It's real close. It's, you know, it could be tomorrow. It could be next week. So
this private placement dong thing, is this, even if it revalued tomorrow, they're obviously still going to do the dong. Do they have any idea or when they're going to start this, or is it just they're going to wait until they get the DNR done and then they're going to start it right after that?
Here's what I am hearing, but there's no absolute guarantee on this. What I'm hearing is that there might be about a week in between the two. Is that the dinar will go first, and then the dong will come about a week later. Now,
but I mean, as far as the private placement, is that going to the one with PIF? Is that going to be next week? Are they planning on after starting to call people and contact people for this?
They'll contact you by email, and I'll be able to send out the notice through my email list as well, and that's why I tell folks to go ahead and be on my email list. And now, but the Dong group, I mean the Dinar group, that group is already closed. That's entirely different.
Right. I'm talking about
and
the Dong. I'm sorry.
That's right. Now, the Dong will release that. PIF will release that, and I will release that as well. We'll be able to do that with each other. What's nice is this one will go much quicker and faster, and it's much more automated. On the Dinar, the folks had to fill out a ton of paperwork, and it's the reason it's back to it's the security issue around it because this is a currency that's never been in circulation. The Dong is entirely different. The Dong is a currency that is in circulation right now. You could go cash it in right now if you wanted to, but you would, you know, the $21,000 per $1 is what you'd get.
Right.
But banks are trained on the Dong. So it's just a matter. And so those of us on the list, we will be able to go into geographic locations pretty much within our local communities. And we'll have multiple places that we will be able to go to cash that in to get the private rate. Not the public.
Right.
The public rate, you will be able to go into almost any bank in the world that trades foreign currencies, and almost all banks do that. The private rate, there will be selected banks all around the country, and lots of them, because they're able to do it on an automated basis. They will be supplied the list. You will be able to walk in and give sufficient identification that you are a person on that list, and then they will give you the higher rate right there. So,
have people already received their money from the dinar, or are they just have to still wait?
No.
Or people from the DOM?
No.
Will they have, even if the RV doesn't happen and they do the private placements for both the dinar and the DOM, do we still have to wait for the RV to happen before we get paid?
No, the RV could happen before the private placements take place. It could go public before the private placement folks even get their money. It's possible for that to happen.
Right, but I'm saying
and there
the,
may
the,
be
the dinar people haven't even received their money yet, then, you're saying?
No, they have not.
Okay.
Now, let me clarify that. I have talked about that there have been some private groups, and these were predominantly humanitarian aid organizations, that have already exchanged. But
right. The
money is in their bank accounts, but the accounts are frozen because they will not get their money until there is the conversion to the TRNs versus the FRNs. Not until the U.S. Treasury notes come out. That's when their bank accounts will be released, when the U.S. Treasury notes come out, and that happens when it goes public. And even those of us in the private dinar group, my understanding is we won't get our money until that goes public as well, but yet it may go public before we even get to go in and do our business. So on the dinar side. And then whether it's dinar or dong, it's all being backed by the new U.S. Treasury notes of the gold that's backed by gold, gold-backed currencies.
Right. And then that brought me a question when he brought that up. I've been under the understanding that the TRN is just notes. They're not currency. Is the TRN, is it actually going to be dollars, currency?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it?
It's the same. You see, look at your dollar bill you have now currently. At the top it says Federal Reserve note. Yeah. And so what they'll say is U.S. Treasury. Yeah.
So it's going to actually be a currency from what you're saying. At the bank.
It's a new currency. Yeah, and what will happen is if you have an old it will be the new currency that will be put into circulation. And so if you have a Federal Reserve note, you'll just go and spend it at a store just as you normally would. But what will happen is then the stores take their money, they deposit it into the bank, and then the bank will pull those out of circulation. They won't recirculate it and then replace it with the U.S. Treasury note. So it would just be a gradual phase in and phase out.
Well, it was just confusing when he said that if you do the exchange, you're going to get Treasury notes. Well, we all know that if you're at the bank, it's electronic. So if I had $1 million in my account now, which I don't, but let's say I did, and then all of a sudden I did the exchange, how would they know the difference between whether it was a Treasury
Money is in different formats, and of course they're not going to give you $1 million in currency. They're talking, it's basically whether the money is digital or whether it's paper. What is it backed by? Is it backed by gold or is it fiat currency? That's the issue. That's the issue. See.
Right.
And all
the
of
last
our
thing
dollars
I had...
now.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm saying all of our dollars now are fiat currency, regardless of whether it's in, you know, a paper money or it's in a bank account in forms of digits. See. And those will be converted over.
I signed up to your website, and then I've tried to go back in the last couple of days, and it won't let me get back in with my current password. And then I tried to just put in my, you know, it says if you lost your password or whatever, if you've got it, just click on here, and then you can put in just your email. And I've done that, and it says it can't even find my email. And I'm like, okay, I get emails from you, but I can't even get into the website.
Well, I don't know about that I don't require any signups for my website. It's just called thesedonaconnection.com and your URL. I don't know why I would be asking that. I have no idea. I've never heard of that.
Well,
I mean,
on your website, you
can
log in, though, right? You can sign up or log in.
No, I don't. There's no login required to go to my website. None at all.
Well, then how would we get your...
You just go to
not your website, but you get in to get your newsletters. You had to sign up,
right? And it's just a standard sign-up form. You go into my website, www.thesedonica.com. Right. And in the right-hand column, there's this little tab that says click here to be on our newsletters. And that's what it is. You just click on that and fill out that form. But there's no password required for that.
Oh, I'm on the Blog Talk Radio, and it has a login part right there. But that must be
Blog Talk Radio has a login if you are a part of Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
see, like,
okay. I was thinking
that
I was part of
yours. I have to log in. No. That's not – yeah, Blog Talk Radio is a totally different situation than my website. Now,
okay.
I have the same name, The Sedona Connection, on Blog Talk Radio. But you don't sign in to that, to the radio program. That's only for those of us who are conducting the radio program that we have to sign in to get to what is called the studio to conduct the program.
Right. I was
That's
thinking
only for
that
people
you had
like
log in on
to
yours.
The program. No.
Well, thank you
no,
for your time. I'm sorry I took
okay.
so much time, but I appreciate all the information.
Well, they were relevant questions for everybody. So that's why I kept you on a little longer, okay?
Thank you so much,
I'm gonna
Dave,
let you go.
And God bless and be safe.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, folks, I'm down to about a half hour left, so I want you to know we may need to start cutting it a little bit short, but I went on a little bit longer with that gentleman because those were relevant questions for everybody. So let's keep going. I'm going to the next caller. His name is Max. He's from the Seattle area, area code 425. Max, you're on the air. What can I help you with? Hello. You know what? Max isn't. Max, are you there? Did you put me on hold, or did you?
I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here.
There you are. Okay. You're from my old stomping ground, area code 425. So, what can I help you with?
I'm out of Bothell, Washington. So, and heard,
well, that's
heard
where
you
I
were.
Bothell,
wow.
Mill Creek. That's where I lived for about 23 years.
Wow, that's where I'm at. Area code 98012, Mill Creek.
Well, that was my zip code for about, well, I lived in the Mays Pond area in Bothell and then moved into Mill Creek. And I lived there for about 1920. I'm getting mixed up. I lived there for about 28 years. And I was your state representative and state senator in that area for 12 years.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
How long have you lived
there? I immigrated here in 1990, so about 25 years.
Well, you were there right in the same – I probably knocked on your door, buddy, asking you for your vote. Because if you're in zip code 980102, I have knocked on almost every door in zip code 98012. So, all right, but go ahead.
Wow.
Let's go. So,
I just wanted to clarify on the receipts. You know, if someone doesn't have a receipt but has been gifted a dong, what should they do? Should they, you know, get a letter from that person and have it notarized? Or
nope.
What would you suggest?
Cash is cash, and that's how it's going to be transacted. When you take it into the bank, whether it's for the private exchange or the public exchange, it's all cash. It's cash is cash, and that's all it takes. No receipts are necessary.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Okay. All right.
Thank
thanks.
You. Take care.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay. Going on to the next caller, the lady by the name of Marie in California. Marie, you are on the air. What can I help you with?
Well, good evening, Dave. Can you hear me?
Hello? I can hear you just fine. Yep.
Oh,
you're good.
You.
I can hear you fine. Yep.
Okay. I didn't know if I was unmuted. Excuse me. Yeah. Well, thank you for taking my call. I enjoyed the call so far this evening. Has been great. I just had a couple questions. One, I did sign up for the dong on your site way back when you had your last call. And the only question I had, when this comes to pass, whenever, I've been in it 5 years, and so you know I've been on the roller coaster. So they will notify us, and then we will go to a designated area for a bank if they assign you to. Is that the way that's going to work?
As of now, yes. But that is always subject to change. But now the dinar you will pretty much be able to take into any bank. First of all, it depends on if it's private or public. Let me clarify that. The public rate, you will always be able to take it into almost any bank in the country because almost all banks exchange foreign currencies.
But
and
not all banks
are going to be.
A lot of banks
that's
are
true.
Not
that's true. Here's what
yeah,
they will do. But Marie, here's what they will do if they don't have a Deliroo machine. They will take your currency, they will count it, they will give you a receipt for it, and then they will ship it off to be counted by a Deliroo machine, and then they will wire the money into your bank account. Now that's what they will do if they don't have.
I won't give it up. I would not do that.
That's
up to you. When they shipped it to wherever they shipped it, they well, they were counterfeit. No, I'd never give up my dinar to be shipped out. Sorry.
That's your choice. That's your choice.
Yeah,
then you'll have to go to a location where there's a machine.
You know, there's a lot of things
that
can happen between shipping out, and I just don't trust that. No, I want a Deliroo machine wherever I have to travel to find
that
bank.
You would probably
a big bank.
Have to travel to Finland.
Yeah, in San Francisco, probably. I would think a big city might have one. It's a bank, I'm sure. But my other question was, there's just a lot of this misinformation out here today, and some of it I'm sure is not true, and some of it is. But have you heard anything? Because there's so much stuff I hear about Maliki, you know, and the voting and the election and blah, blah, blah. Some are saying, yes, he's going to run. He's on the ballot. Then they turn around and say, no, he's not on the ballot. He's had his two terms. He can't do a third. Are you in... lightened in a bit on that? I mean, can you comment at all on that, or is that just something
well,
you don't
first
want to talk
of all,
about?
Remember, they are a parliamentarian form of government, not like what we have in the United States. The prime minister is not directly elected by the people. The prime minister is selected by the members of parliament of the majority party. They select the prime minister. The people do not select the prime minister. And that's the difference between a parliamentarian form of government. It's like the prime minister of Great Britain. He's not elected by the people. He's elected by the members of parliament of the majority party. So,
The reason I said I got a news account saying the parliament said he couldn't run a third term because, he wasn't allowed. He had his two. So, I just said there's so much.
I don't know. You see, and I don't know what that is in Iraq. I don't know what the term limits are there. But here's the other thing is, I really don't think Maliki has any impact whatsoever on this going public. This is now beyond Iraq. Iraq wanted this last summer. This isn't about Iraq. It's Iraq's ready to go in a heartbeat. Why would they not be ready to go in a heartbeat? They want
the
money.
The U.S., I know. The U.S. is holding this up, and probably for very good reasons. Like you said, there's so many people there. We've got to get this thing so it's not...
This is a global event.
That's right. Yeah.
This is a global event, not a single country event. Okay, so...
Right.
Okay, anything else?
I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, then I'll have to go in separate to sign up for your letter because of what I filled out for the donk will not put me on your newsletter.
Yeah, you want to get the newsletter separately. Those are two separate things. And that because then you'll get notification for how to proceed. Now you'll probably get it through the others as well, but it's just a kind of a backup, I guess, is what it is. And so. All right. Thanks, Marie.
Thanks.
Have a good evening.
Yes, enjoy the call.
Okay, thanks, Kate. All right. Kate, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next, I am going to a lady in Texas by the name of Gloria, and she's in area code 936. Gloria, you're on the air. What can I help you with?
I have a couple of questions for you, Dave. Number one, have you heard anything about the Korean Wong for an RV?
Not a thing.
Nothing.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything about that, so I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. All right. My other question is, I want to make sure I understand about the RV of the dinar. Are you saying that those of us that are in the Salt Lake group, the private ones, will it go for a larger amount than just going into the bank and giving your dinar?
And if you are in the dinar Salt Lake group, then yes, you will get a private rate, but you will have to travel to Salt Lake to cash that in.
Oh, you have to travel to Salt Lake.
You will have to travel to Salt Lake City to get that higher rate. There is a specific bank, and I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to release that information at this time. I have been at that bank. I've been inside that bank. I have met personnel in that bank, and I have met the paymaster who is going to oversee this whole thing, and you will come into a specific bank at a specific location in Salt Lake City, and that's where they will disperse the funds for you for the private Salt Lake City group.
And will that be before it goes public, when you can just go into your local bank that has a De La Rue?
We don't know, because it may go public before that is completed, and there's nothing that, you know, there's nothing stopping it going public before the private group is done. There's a lot of very detailed, extensive paperwork for the private contract to avoid lawsuits. And that's, they have to go back and forth on all this stuff, you know, on a basis. So there's a lot of extensive paperwork that's involved in that for the private contract. Now, here's the thing, though, about the De La Rue machines. Now, this is what I have been told. It's subject to change, but what I've been told is the De La Rue machine is only required for the larger denominations, the 25K note, the 10,000, and the 5,000K notes. If you have a 1,000 and less, that would be the 1,000, the 500, the 250, and the 50, all of those you will be able to get cashed out on the spot. They will not require a De La Rue machine. So if you have some of the lower denominations, you will be able to get some cash immediately. And
I do have the larger. So, okay, you've answered that question. Now, one last question. I know you need to let go and everything. If I understand on the RV for the, or the part that we went on the PIF form for the Wong, that for the Dong. We don't have any other paperwork to fill out at this time. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's no paperwork required for the Dong.
Okay.
All you do is fill out the form and it puts you on the list. You'll be notified. So. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Gloria.
Mm-hmm,
all right,
bye-bye.
Okay. Have a good evening. Bye-bye. Okay, next caller. I'm going to a lady by the name of Fran, who is in New Orleans. Fran, you're on the air, and what can I help you with?
Hi, Dave. I talked to Charla earlier, and she was so nice. She relieved my mind of a lot of things because I am a newbie, and I've talked to you before. But I just had asked her, you know, if I went into the bank with a dinar, did I need any type of, you know, legal help, any type of an attorney or something before I walked in there? Because I'm like the lady that called earlier. I'm not going to give them up, you know, unless I get some kind of verification. But I didn't know if I needed some type of legal assistance before I walked in off the streets.
Nope. Not in a public transaction when you're going to exchange at the public rate. It's no different than taking a Canadian $100 bill into a bank and say, give me some American money. The only thing that's different is the country of the currency and the amount. That's the only thing that's different. If it's a public transaction, once it goes, and it's that way for both the dinar and the dong, once it goes public. Because see, then you're just, those are the, all of the tellers at the banks in front of their computers will have what is called the current, you know, exchange rate, and they just look it up and say, okay, this is the exchange rate at this time. This is what you get. So,
Right. And also, what I wanted to ask, I'm trying to think of a question that I had for you. I am on the I immediately filled out for the Dong private placement, and I'm trying to think of the question that I had for you. It just went
well,
out of my brain.
Well, what I see on your, well, Charla will write the question down, and the question was, is the market rate that much better? And that's what I saw that you had on here. Is that, was that your question?
That was one of my questions, yes.
Absolutely, it's much better. It's about 2 to 3 times as much.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely,
well,
yes.
I'm just blessed with the with the market rate. I think the market rate someone had said it was 47.
That changes every day, so don't necessarily count on that.
Okay.
We do know that both what I was told today. Now the reason why it changes is because the private contracts. I've seen the contract. In it is a mathematical formula that they use, and it's based on what the current foreign exchange rates are on multiple currencies around the world. And it's a formula that they use. So that's why it can change every day.
Oh,
and it's also, so there was at one point in time, yes, they were saying 47, and then a couple of weeks ago I had heard 27 were the public rates.
Oh.
But what I did get today from G-Man today is neither public nor private is going to be over a dollar. And that's what he said
today. Neither public or private is going to be over a dollar.
A dollar, and the private will be 2 to 3 times the public.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Well, but that's, we're still blessed anyway, no matter how you look at it. So
yeah, I know.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Man, I'm thankful regardless.
Yes, you know? I'm thankful I got in. I'm thankful, like I was telling Charla, thankful that it was just the March 15th is when I found out about it.
Yeah, so. Okay, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you so much, Dave.
To go on to. Thanks,
Fran. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, Kay, good night. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going on to the next lady. Her name is Becky, and she is from Knoxville, area code 865. Becky, you're on the air. What can I help you with?
Hi, Dave. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure the unmuting worked. I could hear it, but... I have a question about how to find a bank with a De La Rue machine. I've called all over this area to 3 different states around me, and nobody seems to even know what it is for the most part.
Don't call the banks. and I'm having to laugh at that, Becky. I'm sorry if I interrupted you. Because
that's okay.
Right now, the banks are caught in a catch-22. They can't publicly admit this is going on because the dinar is not a current, it's not a tradable currency. The average person at the bank isn't going to know. So just leave the banks alone because they're going to tell you it's a scam. They're going to tell you, no, we're not doing it. You know, then, but if it's a good friend of yours, they may give you a wink, you know,
Room machine. I've called them, and I mean I've at least, and I've asked for the foreign currency department. So I'm getting to the right place.
Well, okay. Yes,
they
don't have them because they can't trade it right now. They don't. They if they do have it, they're not going to tell you that they have it. Because
okay, so
if they admit that they have it, if they admit they have it, they're now making public. Oh, guess what? We're going to do dinar currencies. And they can't do that. They can't say it publicly at all. There's legal issues around that. Yeah, and here's the other reason. Picture that you're a you're a teller working in a branch, and you've been there a couple of years, and you don't make a lot of money by just being an everyday teller, and it comes down from your bank officially that, oh, guess what? We're going to be exchanging dinar. And then as a teller, you go out and buy yourself 5 million dinar. And do you think you're going to continue to work that job when it goes public? No. They would lose so many of their employees, there wouldn't be anybody there to do our exchanging for us. See? So they can't say this. And you and I don't want them leaving their jobs because we got to have somebody to do the exchange for us.
Telling them anything about the thing. I'm just telling them it's a currency counting machine, a foreign currency counting machine, and it's a validating machine. So I'm telling them. But okay.
Yeah.
I did talk to a currency exchange center. I just don't, you know, I mean, with us losing 40% in taxes, I'm thinking, well, the currency exchange centers are going to want more for the than the banks possibly. I mean, at least you can negotiate out the spread fees with the banks. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's kind of nickel and diming your death on this thing after a little while, and I'm just trying to find
the
way to maximize return, I guess.
I know. Of course we all are, and we want to do that, and that's understandable. And I just look at it as I'm gaining 60% instead of losing 40. I'm just thankful for what I'm getting because I sure didn't pay very much for this. I'm keeping the attitude of gratitude is what I'm trying to keep.
Yeah, I understand. Do you think this information about places to go that have the De La Rue machine is going to come out when this happens then?
Yes, it will when it happens, but we will do whatever we can. I don't know this officially, but what I have heard, and almost third hand, I should say, is there's just not that many machines out there, and they're trying to make them as fast as they can. Because remember, this is a currency that's never been in circulation, so there's never been a need for this machine. I should say this machine for the dinar currency. There are Delarue machines that are programmed to other world currencies, but they have never had a need to have a Delarue machine for an Iraqi dinar because it's a currency that's never been in circulation. So the machines either need to be programmed to take the dinar, or they have to be in a situation where they have to make new machines. So.
Okay. Can I say something else?
And
there's a way to validate your own dinar. If you have a black light or a blue light, I guess it's what it's called. It's one of those little lights that detects animal urine in carpets. If you take one of those and put it on the back side of, flash it on the back side of those dinar, there'll be a little rectangle in the upper right center corner of the bill that'll illuminate yellow. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like it kind of shows up as a black light. It glows yellow.
Yep.
There's also a kind of a woven thread, thick gold thread through that area too, straight down the bill. It looks kind of like the bill perforated. So
yeah,
I just wanted to put that
there's
out there for
things.
People
right.
who didn't know how.
But usually, if your currency, if it's new uncirculated currency, you can be pretty well guaranteed that it's good stuff. And if you purchase it from an authorized broker, you know that it's good as well. And the word we are hearing, what's counterfeit hasn't really come out into circulation because it's kind of worthless right now. Why would they send it out there when it's almost worthless? You don't make money off selling your dinar. I mean, brokers don't make their money off selling the dinar. They don't make very much money on this. You know, a broker makes maybe $8 to $10 per transaction. That's not very much money to be making. So.
Right. I'm just kind of one of those people like Marie. I'm kind of paranoid about having them count it and package it up and then send it off somewhere and give me a receipt, you know?
Yeah. Well, and but. Your options is, you know, to you know, you'll have options of what to do. It'll be your choice,
okay.
You know, and they'll explain it to you.
All right. That's all I had. Thank
okay.
you.
All righty.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right. God bless.
All right. Have a good evening. Okay. Bye-bye.
You too.
Yeah. Folks, okay, I'm getting down to a couple minutes left here. I should say about 12 minutes left. Let me say this really quickly about banks. There's a lot of people that are fearful of banks, thinking that banks are greedy and they're corrupt and they're going to steal your money. And this is my opinion. Banks don't do that with customers' money. The last thing that a bank wants is to get caught stealing a customer's money and then it becomes a news story because they would lose thousands and thousands of customers if that happened. The corruption in the banks doesn't happen with your money and my money. It takes place at the corporate level when they use our money. It's the money that we deposit into their banks. Then they take that and can use that money to go do certain things with. You know, whether it's their different types of trading and manipulating the stock market, the gold market, the different types of collateralized debt obligations that they put out, the CDOs and all kinds of other stuff. That's the corruption of where they make their profits. They don't steal the customer's money. Now, of course, there's maybe some individual exception on that, but that's not where they make their money. That would be one of the biggest huge public relations fiascos and mistakes they had ever made in their lives if they did that and got caught. Because I can tell you right now, if I'm in a bank and I heard that they stole the customer's, you know, some customer's money, I'm pulling that money out of the bank in a heartbeat. And most of us would do that. It would collapse the bank if they did that. The corruption is at the corporate level and where they use our money. That's where the corruption takes place. Okay. Now, yes, can you have an individual teller who might be pocketing some money? Yeah, but that's a different story. It's not the big stuff, okay? All right. Okay. Now, going to go on to one more caller we have here as we're getting callers all lined up. I'm going to a gentleman by the name of Randall, and he's from Jacksonville, Florida. Randall, you're on the air, and what can I help you with?
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me here to ask you some questions. Although the
sure.
nice lady that got me here was answered quite a few, so I appreciate that. Dave, I do have a few, I guess they're questions further. If you have time, I mean, I don't want to get
sure.
involved.
Go ahead.
Here.
I got about,
run out of time,
I got about 4 minutes here.
Well, I really don't have time, but here's what I do want to do. I want to get on the list there that comes from your website, Sedona. And so that probably will help me a lot, too. I have a nonprofit organization that I've had for many, many years here, and I think what the work you are doing will help that. One thing I would like to know, if it's possible, although this is not about Dong or Dinar, is if you have heard of prosperity programs that came on many years ago, and do you know where I can find information? Because I was had these things, still have them, from 20 years ago, and I would want to know if there's any way possible these things will be coming online to help us so we can help some people in this world. That's what I really would like to know.
I don't know. I've heard about the prosperity programs. I don't know specifically where to go. I don't know if they're still open or they're closed. I have heard that the prosperity programs are not going to get funded to what people think they are, because the prosperity programs are going to be just as anybody else. It used to be the prosperity programs was based around the transactions that were going to happen with China oil credits. And right now, any prosperity programs that are out there, it's like this is all gold-backed currency that has to be run through the U.S. Treasury, and it's going to get cashed in as anything else. Now, some of those prosperity programs could possibly have been those humanitarian aid organizations I had referred to earlier. I don't know. I don't know those details. I'm only repeating to you what I have heard second and third.
I understand that. Well, this is interesting. Because I've been a part of this thing, really, as far as prosperity programs to the Dong Dinar, for going on 20 to almost 30 years. And I'm not a young man anymore, Dave.
I hear you. So.
Did I understand you correctly that the Dong would have a contract rate from the Treasury Department as opposed to the Chinese people?
Yes. Those are two separate
private
contract deals, if that's the appropriate term to use.
Well, now, this is the warehouse has asked this other than this. How come this information has not been put out hereto before, but now it just shows up now? I mean, I'm just curious if you can answer that. If not, it's okay. But
I don't have any idea on that. I know. I wish I could answer that too. Well, remember, most of this stuff, it was never, ever, none of this stuff was etched in stone until just recently.
Well, maybe that's what that answer's right there. Probably as good an answer as any right
none
there.
None of it was ever etched in stone. It was
always probable.
It was probable. The contracts with China were never etched in stone. They were probable. And the U.S. Treasury interface teams have only just become public in the last 6 weeks.
Well, I certainly need to be in that program because, as I say, I have a humanitarian charity program and I have been nursing for a long, long time. And I need to have some help on this thing to finally do the right things here that we need to all of us need to do. To help humanity here and to give God some glory, that's for sure. So,
okay. Well, I'm going to let you go because I got.
All right, thank you.
And I want to
hold you up, and thanks a lot. And appreciate so much. And
thanks, Randall.
And, have a great night.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Okay, going to the next gentleman here, and I'm going to try to run through you guys fairly quickly so I can get to everybody tonight. But I'm now going to Mike in Wisconsin. Mike, you're on the air. What can I help you with?
Oh, hi, David. I just had a couple of things I wanted to ask you about. The first thing is, tell me if my understanding is correct or not, but I was told at one point that if we exchange the dinar, for example, at the international rate, it would be just simply an exchange and a non-taxable event. If we were to exchange at the private rate or group rate, whatever, it's higher, that would then be a situation where there's capital gains tax involved. Is that correct or is that not correct?
That's not correct. It's all capital gains, regardless if it's public or private. All capital gains. That is the current law. It's IRS publication 525, page 30. It states, if you have a foreign currency that you exchange and the gain is more than $200, it will be taxed as a capital gain.
Okay.
Black and white. And only Congress can change the tax law. That's black and white in the Constitution. Those aren't debatable issues. I know people talk about it. They say all their opinions, but that's pretty black and white to me. And when I talked with G-Man today, he says there is going to become a public ruling on that from the courts to say this is what it is. It's going to be a capital gain.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got that clarified then. Okay. The other thing I just wanted to say is just simply I understand. Now, I'm a newbie. I've only listened to the April 9th call and tonight's call, so I just learned about you recently, and so therefore I actually missed out on the opportunity. I do have some dongs. I signed up for that, and I thank you greatly for that opportunity, but I missed out on the dinar opportunity, and I just wanted to say that if another opportunity with the dinar should arise, if someone else would decide to start a group or something like that, I hope you put it out there for us so those of us that missed it can maybe jump in on it, because that sounds like it was a great opportunity as well.
I will, but my understanding that door is closed because it's so close to happening. So
Okay.
I had that discussion with Piff last week when I was with him in Salt Lake City about would it be beneficial for me to start a group with the people that listen to me? And in our conversation I had with him and with G-Man, he said, nope. That door's closed. So
there's obviously a demand for it, but if it's too close, well, too close. You can only do what you got to do. So, okay, that's all I have, and I thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have a good evening. Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Yep. Okay, I'm going to go to the next gentleman. I have to be really quick. Rick, you're in Alberta, Canada, and what can I help you with tonight?
Hi, Dave. I was wondering, this private rate on the dong, is that just for U.S. citizens only?
My understanding, it cannot be, no, it has nothing to do with citizenship. It has to do with physical location. And my understanding is if you can bring your dong here into the United States and cash it out at the bank here, you can get it here. So it's not about citizenship. It's not about citizenship. It's about physical location. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Now,
and does it matter anywhere in the United States?
I don't know. I can't give you that exact answer because I don't have those details. They are going to, when that information comes out, they will tell you the places. There will be lots of places, banks you'll be able to go into around the United States to exchange your dong and get the private rate. But for you as a Canadian citizen, you would most likely have to take it as a cashier's check. And then you're going to have to transport that. And then you're going to have to deal with the laws of transporting the money across the border. And I don't know all those details, okay?
Right.
I need to let you go. I only got a minute and a half left, and I got to do my closing comments.
Okay. Right? Thanks, Dave.
Thanks a lot. Okay, good night.
Bye.
Okay, folks, I only got about a minute left, and I just want to wrap up and say thank you, thank you, thank you. Remember, there's a difference between what's going on between the dinar and the dong. The dinar, the private contracts are closed. You totally have options. Nobody forces you to do anything that you don't want to do. It's always a matter of your choice. If you don't want to be involved in the private contracts, then don't. Then don't. If you do, if you want to be involved with it in the dong, you need to go to my website, thesedonaconnection.com. Scroll down. You'll see the article, and you'll see the form that you need to fill out. Other thing is, remember, disclaimer, this is only my opinion for educational purposes only. You should always consult your own professional advice with CPAs, tax attorneys, wealth managers, et cetera, when dealing with your financial affairs for you personally. Would love to have you come to the Philadelphia Workshop Conference. It's a great time for all of us to get together. And folks, thank you once again for another wonderful program here tonight. Love all of you. And they just told me I have 10 seconds left. Have an absolute wonderful evening. We'll see you next week on The Sedona Connection. Good night, everybody.